The teachings of General Conference are the considerations the Lord would have before us now and in the months ahead.
Our marching orders for each 6 months are found in the General Conference addresses.
For the next 6 months, your conference edition of the Ensign should stand next to your standard works and be referred to frequently.
I encourage you to read the talks once again and to ponder the messages contained therein.
I exhort you to study the messages of this conference frequently, even repeatedly, during the next 6 months.
You're listening to the Conference Talk Podcast, where it's conference weekend every weekend. Each weekend, we discuss talks from the most recent General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Right, we'll share some insights, make some connections, and have a bit of fun as we study the words of the awesome men and women that God has called to direct His church in the latter days. I'm Shelby Stanfill.
And I'm also Shelby, but Christensen. This episode, we're talking about Elder Valeri V. Cordon's talk, address, Divine Parenting Lessons.
Man, I forget sometimes that we're both named Shelby. And then when we go to do the introduction, I'm like, oh, that's right, you're named Shelby too.
I know, I do too. I think it's funny.
It's great. It's great. And this talk was really good too. The Divine Parenting Lessons. I feel like, I don't know about you, you've been a parent longer than I have, but being a new mom, I have been praying for talks like this for so long since I've had my daughter. And so to hear like Elder Uchtdorf give his talk about parenting, how Jesus Christ is the strength of parents, and then to have this divine parenting lesson too, like it just felt like answers to prayers for me and continually answers to prayers to me that come as we listen to General Conference over and over. So I loved this talk as like my initial takeaway in general was just gratitude that parenting is being incorporated in, because I think they understand how hard of a world that we live in. Like, you know, they say all the time that the apostles and the leaders of the church, they're not naive to what's going on, right? They know. And so we are in the midst, us parents are in the midst of struggling with these really super valiant youth and valiant spirits, but also so hard to navigate in this world. So having parenting lessons, sign me up.
Yes, I completely agree with you. This talk was a really, yeah, I definitely needed this talk. I got a lot from it. And I mean, it's scary. It's scary, like navigating these, I guess you could say, uncharted waters of the last days, because, you know, there's only so much, like, I guess, that we're told and that we expect. And like, it's really hard to like not get weighed down with fear when you see all these things happening in the world, and then coming to General Conference and be able to receive talks like this really helps to like calm my heart down and help me be reminded of the most important things that I need to do and not worry about everything else.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, I'm going to skip down to like the part of the talk that I felt was that stood out to me the most. It's actually just a phrase. I actually don't know where it is in the talk. I would have to go back through. I don't think I highlighted it. However, it's the part where he says intentional parenting. He uses that phrase, intentional parenting. And throughout the whole talk, they talk about making the home a gospel-centered learning. They give some tips on like, you know, teaching freely, modeling discipleship, and invitation to act. Oh, it's an actual heading. It says righteous intentional parenting.
Yep.
And this stood out to me because when I was dating my husband, I felt like Kevin was very intentional in dating me. Like I knew that he wanted to date me and I knew that he was cared for me and then eventually loved me and then, you know, wanted to pursue a life with me, right, together. And that's what I thought about when I thought about this was, man, we need to be intentional in how we interact with our kids. This can't be some passive type of parenting lesson. It has to be intentional, and our kids have to know that we care enough to teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ intentionally and not passively, which I think it's very easy to fall into passive parenting, like very, very easy to just not acknowledge or teach a lesson or whatever it is in the moment, because you might be bogged down, right, as a parent. Mm-hmm. But realizing that those can be moments to be intentional with our children and to teach of Jesus Christ and to do so freely, which is his number one point in the beginning of this talk. And so I just love that phrase, intentional parenting.
Yeah, I really like that too. That's always been a big goal of mine as a parent, whether it's with teaching the gospel or just being a present parent, period, is being very intentional with how I'm interacting with my kids and how I'm guiding them and helping them learn. Because the home is the most important place, right, to learn. And so if we're not being intentional, if we're being, like what you said, passive, then they're going to learn to not be intentional with their lives and not be intentional with the gospel and other things that they have to experience in this life. I really like at the very beginning where he says, parenting is one of life's most extraordinary experiences. Parents enter a partnership with their Heavenly Father to guide their precious children back to heaven. And I mean, I've thought of that. I guess I've thought of that before, but I've never like had it spelled out. Like, this is a partnership that we have with Heavenly Father in caring for his spirit children in this world. Like, that is just, I feel like that's pretty incredible. Like, that he trusts us to have this partnership, and he's giving us this responsibility to take care of his children. What do you think about that?
I would agree. I remember, I'll just draw on like my own personal experience. I remember when I had my daughter, she had tongue ties, and usually you address tongue ties pretty early, like somewhere between like 4 and 6 weeks is ideal. Well, we didn't get her diagnosed with tongue ties till she was like 3 to 4 months. So it took a while for me to figure out. But I remember so clearly saying a prayer because this was mentioned somewhere else in some other general conference talk. I don't have the source, but I remember I just stumbled upon it in my app, my, you know, gospel library app. And I read it and it talked about like a partnership with the Lord, what you just mentioned about, you know, how we partner with him. And I remember thinking, well, dang, if this is his spirit child and he is letting me take care of her and trust me enough to do that, I just let that thought guide me in trying to figure out what was going on with her. Because she was having some serious breastfeeding issues. Like, it was just really hard to breastfeed and all these things. And I thought, well, Heavenly Father knows her and knows her struggles, and he's entrusting me with her. So I'm going to lean on him in my prayers right now to help her, even though it's a temporal matter, right? Like, tongue ties in a baby, that's nothing spiritual, right? Necessarily. It can be spiritual in nature, but I just thought, I'm going to lean on him and pray. And I just knew that I needed to push forward with, you know, seeing a lactation consultant. And then they led me to other people who could help her and do all these things to help release the ties. And anyway, but the point is that has been like a guiding principle for me from day one of trying to, when I'm at a loss for my own child, well, shoot, Heavenly Father knows, like, help me out, guide me, like, partner with me here, because you know more than I do about my child. And I'm willing to learn, and I want to be the best earthly parent they can have, right? And so that's also being intentional, right? Saying intentional prayers for your kids in whatever they're going through. And full disclosure, I mean, I only have a 2-year-old, so I don't know what it's like to have teenagers or even, you know, 5, 6, 7-year-olds, but I can imagine the principle stays the same with whatever they're going through, right? So yeah, I think that's amazing. And the fact that we are entrusted as parents to do that should also speak volumes to who you are as a parent, right? That Heavenly Father trusted you enough to bring these children here and to give you these little precious spirits. I mean, wow. If you just take a moment and sit with that, it's almost like, who was I in the pre-mortal life that he knew me enough to send me here and do this? So yeah, I agree.
Not only like, who was I in the pre-mortal life, but like, who am I? Like, that I don't know who I am. That Heavenly Father knows, like, you're good. You've got this. Like, you can take care of this precious soul. Like, I know you can do it. And I feel like parenting is a lot. Yes, like, you know, we're in charge and we're responsible for rearing and directing our children in a righteous way in this world, but it's also a way for us to truly learn who we are. And I feel like as we continue to lean on Heavenly Father and really approach parenting in a very prayerful way, like you, like your example, you can better understand you as a daughter or son of God. And then you can better be able to see your child in a different way and have more patience, have more love, have, you know, have a better understanding of maybe what they might be going through or what they, the help that they need from you. It's just a very spiritual experience.
Yeah, I would agree.
It can be.
Yeah, for sure. And it, here's the thing, like, it's not always as easy as it sounds, right? Like, let's be real. Like, we know.
It is hard.
We know the people listening are like, yeah, that sounds great in theory, but it's also really hard. And we hear you. We know it's hard. And I think that's the beauty of it, right? That it gets to be hard so that we can learn and we can grow. And that's the only way that we can grow, right? And so in those moments of like, whatever it may be, I know everyone's probably listening, thinking of a moment they had or super hard. Like, those are the moments, like, think about what you did to get through that. And then think about maybe what you can do to get through it next time, even better, like an even better version of yourself as a parent. And then also an even more capable of helping your child, right? Go through whatever it was or deal with whatever that situation was. This isn't okay. I had this thought when you were talking, and I'll go ahead and share it. I feel like it ties into the second principle. He talks about modeling discipleship. And I remember we had someone come and speak to us at state conference, and he said, you know, if I came over to your house and you had a beautiful white tablecloth out on the table and you had food set out, you know, because I'm a special guest, I'm coming over to your house, and there's red punch and there's all these things out on the table. He goes, and then I knocked over my red punch onto the white tablecloth, how would you react? And most of the people, like, are thinking in their head, you know, if you have a guest over, you're going to be like, oh no, it's okay, we'll clean it up, don't even worry. Like, you're going to make them not feel bad for, like, pushing the punch over, or however it happened, right? And he said, this is how you need to view parenting. Your children are very special guests that come into your house. And so if they knock over the punch, there's no need to, like, if your kid were to do that, you'd be like, oh my gosh, you need to be more careful. You need to, right? Like, whatever your mood may be, that's generally your reaction to your kid. And he said, you need to view your kids as very special guests. And so it's okay to still say these things, but be a little bit calmer and say, it's okay, we'll clean it up. Let's clean it up together. And next time we need to be more careful, right? And treating them that way and viewing them as a special guest in our household. And there's been several times in my life already where I'm like, it's okay, she's a special guest. She's a special guest. We're just going to clean it up together and we're going to move on, right? And I feel like that's discipleship. Heavenly Father wants us to treat others how we want to be treated, right? And so if we made mistakes, we don't want to be yelled at and, you know, whatever the reaction may be from our natural man. We want to be treated with love and mercy and compassion, and also a side of justice to, like, let's not do this again, right? And an expectation moving forward that, hey, this isn't going to happen again, or we're going to try better next time. So I don't know. That just came to my mind when you were talking last, sharing what you thought. So had to share.
Yeah, I feel like
an example.
No, I love that. And I feel like parenting is a lot more about learning how to control your emotions than it is, you know, trying to control. It should be a lot more about learning how to control our reactions and our emotions and not be so reactionary. I grew up in a home that was very authoritarian. And there's a difference between being an authoritative parent and being an authoritarian. And the line was crossed in my home. And so I grew up in a way, and I love my parents. My parents did what was, like, did their best. They did what they, you know, how they were raised, like, they just kind of, like, carried on, right? But I grew up in a way, I had some fear towards my parents. And when I became a mom, I realized, like, I don't want my kids to fear me. And I've had to overcome a lot of, I haven't even overcome it all. I still fall every single day. And I have to, like, stop myself and, like, breathe. And then, like, the amount of apologies I have given to my 4-year-old daughter in the span of her lifetime, like, it's crazy. But It's definitely like, I feel like I've become a better person being able to recognize who she is and who she comes from, and knowing that I have a lot to work on. And so I think that I've learned to give myself a lot of grace. And something that I've seen before where it says, it's something about, I'm going to mess it up, but it talks about like being humble enough as a parent to recognize when you are the one that's not handling situations correctly, and allowing your child to just feel and to just be, and getting down on their level. And it's hard. It's not something that comes naturally or easy at all.
Well, yeah. And I've been thinking about this a lot too. Scriptural examples of parenting. And the first example I think we get is Christ in the garden with Adam and Eve, and the way that he teaches them, and the way that he, I think there's so much we can learn from that example of how to be a parent. And he follows these principles here. Like, he teaches them freely, like, hey, you made a mistake. Like, well, first of all, why were you hiding? Who told you to hide? Right? Like, okay, it's fine. Mm-hmm. You made a mistake. That wasn't okay. So there are going to be consequences, but also like, we're going to provide a savior for you. Right? So teaching and pointing to Christ continually through that, teaching freely of that, inviting them to be a disciple, to follow Christ, and then inviting them to then act. Okay, now you have to go out and you have to do this. Like, you have to do this thing that we just talked about, and you have your agency. So technically you don't have to, right? But like, I hope that you do, because at that point they've entered into covenants with the Lord and promised to follow him. And so, I don't know, I just think about these things and like parenting in general. And my point in this is that I've noticed that what Christ does is he doesn't start, I'm sure a lot of people are going to laugh, he doesn't start by saying, oh, you can't do this. He starts by saying what they can do. Like, hey, you can do this. You can, you know, make a family and be a family, but you're going to live outside of the Garden of Eden because of what happened, right? And I just love this whole like framing of, this is what you can do. Like, I'm not trying to restrict you, right? But here's the consequences for your actions. And I think with parenting, we get it flipped sometimes where we're like, no, you can't do that. You can't do that because I said so. And no. But you can do this. And I think our natural man, whenever we hear that we can't do something, we kind of like cringe inside, because we like don't, I don't know, me, I don't like being told what to do a lot, right? So I think there's this whole thing of learning from Christ's example of teaching and parenting and applying that into our children's lives. And it's really cool to look for those things in the scriptures, parenting lessons that you can find. So just had to throw that in there as an example, and maybe an invitation to go study like yourselves, go study Adam and Eve and that whole encounter in the Garden of Eden, because there's a lot to be learned there from that parenting example.
I really like that. Thank you. Going back to the first section where he talks about teaching freely, I highlighted where Heavenly Father taught Adam to teach things liberally, generously, and without restraint. And I highlighted that because I was like, oh my gosh, I don't need to be afraid to teach what I think are hard things to understand in the gospel to my children, because Heavenly Father has made it very simple that even a child can understand it, right? We learn that in the Book of Mormon. And so it reminded me, like, don't hold back when it comes to the things that are most important, the commandments, living the gospel, the difference between right and wrong, what is right, what is wrong, while also teaching compassion. Those are all super important things to teach from the very beginning, according to their understanding. But like, you can literally teach everything and don't hold it back, because if we're holding back, then we're doing them a disservice and setting up for, if they are confronted with a situation where they may not know where they stand or where, you know, what to think on certain things. But I really liked that part, and that's why I highlighted it. And I was like, okay, I got to be more willing to just like explain things better or like teach things more liberally to my children. Yeah. Because I feel like sometimes I'm like, oh, my kids are too young to understand that. I don't want to like have them have questions or get them confused. I think that like, oh, if I teach them that, it's going to confuse them. But no, it's not going to.
Yeah. I mean, I think our kids are way more capable than we give them credit. Right. And I think mm-hmm. that just comes from, you know, us being parents, like we don't want to let our little babies grow up and we just want to, you know, it's hard. And so letting them like hear whatever we have to say. And here's the thing too, it's not even so much so how what we're saying, but just how they feel when we're saying it. Like we hear that all the time, right? Like, you know, missionaries, for example. Half the time you hear people tell their stories like, I had no idea what the missionaries were saying to me, but I know that I felt something. And I think that's the example in parenting too. Like your kid might not know, you're like, to your credit, they might, it might go right over their head, but they're going to remember how they felt when mom was talking to them or dad was talking to them. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's important to acknowledge too, that the feeling that you're creating of, yeah, mom freely talked about Jesus. She did, you know, mom and dad did it. Or maybe it, you know, you're not a mom and dad, but you're in a role of parenting. Maybe you're an aunt and you play a really big role in this child's life. Same thing. My aunt or my uncle, my grandma, my grandpa, they spoke very freely of Christ. And I always remember that it felt good, right? It didn't feel, and they might say, I had no idea what they were saying, but I just know that I felt good. And I think that's what matters too in that situation.
And I think also, another thing that matters is that as you teach freely and as you are not afraid to share the things of Christ and help them learn of him, they're going to be more confident in declaring their discipleship as followers of Jesus Christ,
right,
in the world. So they're going to be more confident in standing up for Christ and standing up for the gospel.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't even think about that, because as we continually... So we ourselves are pointed to Christ. We're then pointing our children to Christ, and then our children will then point others to Christ, right? So like mm-hmm. It's never like, look at everything I'm doing great. It's look at all the things I've learned about Christ in my life that have helped me. So let me point you to how Christ mm-hmm. would handle this. And then the kids are going to see that, right? Hopefully as they grow and older and see, and then move forward. What's that scripture that says, if you raise your child up in the way, they will not depart from it, or something like that. There's somewhere, or maybe it was someone that said something. But I just think of that scripture, that what I believe that means too, is that they're not going to depart from it because they're never going to forget the testimony of their parents. Like it's going to be in the back of their minds always, like, oh yeah, my mom believed this. Even if they do wander off the covenant path, right? They're going to know that their parents knew. And I think that's part of what that scripture means, is they're always going to have that knowledge. And, you know, when rock bottom hits, that's going to be the knowledge that they grasp onto, right? Like that's the knowledge that Alma, the younger, grasped onto, or the elder grasped onto when he was in the bounds of like, right, like feeling like he was about to die. He grasped onto the knowledge of his parents and this and mm-hmm. Christ in these things. And that's what pulled them out of like a darkness. And so mm-hmm. it's just, that's why I think it's so important, because some of our kids may wander and they may get lost, but in those dark moments, they're going to remember what their parents knew. And so it's not all in vain, right? It all does serve a purpose.
Yeah. And that's really comforting to have that promise, like, because we don't know what's going to happen with our children and where they're going to go. But having that promise is, if I'm doing my part, that they will remember, whether they choose to use it or not, they will remember, mm-hmm. which is comforting for me. Oh, it's very comforting.
Yeah, definitely. I thought of my grandma Donna. She passed away when I was 15, and I thought a lot about her during preparing for this podcast. And I just thought, you know, there were certain blessings that she was given, especially towards the end of her life and also throughout her life, about how she would be essentially a rock for her family, and that rock would always stand because she was standing with Christ, right? And Christ is our rock. And so mm-hmm. it just, I don't know, I thought about that too, that as we stand with Christ in our parenting and with Heavenly Father, right, we can't go wrong. We will make mistakes, but that's part of this mortal life, right? Like, we all know we're going to make mistakes, and that's why we need Christ even more to help us overcome those parenting fails we may have, right? Because we all have them. And I think it's just important for us to also remember to look to Christ in those moments and lean back on that relationship with Heavenly Father.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a question. What are you doing in your home as a parent to create a place where your children and your family can feel Heavenly Father's influence?
I love that question. I feel like lately I've done something very specific and very intentional. So I was having the hardest time getting my own scripture study in because I'm not a very early riser. I don't want to wake up earlier than my daughter, who already wakes up super early. And I have the pleasure of working from home, and I only work about 12 hours a week. So I don't have a ton of hours that I have to work from home. And so I decided the only way I'm going to get my scripture study done is with my 2-year-old daughter. Like, I don't have any other time in my day. The other downtimes I have, I'm in meetings and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I instituted, is that the word, or I implemented what I call scripture time with Adeline. So we eat our breakfast, and then after we're done eating breakfast, we grab our scriptures, and I got her a little Book of Mormon, right? And she, because I take notes in my big, like, study journal Book of Mormon, and so she always saw me writing in it, and she would try to write in it. So I'm like, I'm just going to get you your own. You have your little pen, and she writes in it for probably like 5 seconds, right? It's just her little scribbles wherever we are in the scriptures. But here's the thing. I put on little Bible stories on the TV in the morning while we're reading scriptures. So when she's done reading her scriptures, she then is still reading or listening to the Bible stories, right? It's a series on Amazon Prime called Superbook is what they call it. And you can also find LDS living stories and all that too. They have a bunch of things. But she really likes Superbook, and it's just another nickname for the Bible that they give it. And so I've been doing that to implement pointing, you know, Adeline to Christ. And she knows. So this is the crazy thing. I'm so glad you asked this question. And I want to hear what you do too on the flip side, Shelby. But that it was scripture time, and she went and got the scriptures for my mom, and my mom recorded it for me to see. She literally was like, Nana, scripture time, went and got scriptures, sat on the couch, and like started writing in her scriptures. And like that melted my heart, because I've only been doing this since the end of December. So like, this is new, right? It's March. It's still a fairly new thing. But it seriously melted my heart that my daughter knew to go and get her scriptures and start reading. Does she know what the heck she's doing? No, but we're creating some habits, right? And now I've been trying to tell her, who are we reading about in the scriptures? And she knows how to say Jesus now. And so she'll say Jesus. And then I'm trying to teach her these little things. Like when she got an owie, I'm like, who can help us with our owies? And she goes, Jesus, right? So like these little tiny things of like pointing her to Christ. And so that's just one example of what I've been doing lately. And it's been a game changer for me too, because I'm getting my scripture study in. So it's awesome. But what are you doing in your family and your home?
Yeah. So there's a couple of things. Something that I've been doing for the last, oh my gosh, probably a year now. I haven't been completely consistent with it, but there's this company called the Come Follow Me FHE, and they create lessons and stuff according to Come Follow Me for kids, and it's of different ages. So I have this subscription with them, and I use the toddler one right now because of my 4-year-old, but they also have lessons for like teachers and stuff if you want to utilize that. But every Tuesday morning, because I don't work Tuesday morning, so that's some time for me and Bailey. Saturday morning and Sunday morning, we do, and I call it our Jesus lesson. So each one of those days, like I break apart the lesson into the different things that they have us doing, and I share the part of the lesson, and then we either do like an activity or a coloring page that comes along with the lesson. And so Bailey knows that when mom's not working in the morning, we get to do our Jesus lesson. And so she'll make sure that I have it ready for her for the next day. And then another thing, my husband, he travels for work, and so he's not home, but we try to make sure that every night before we get off the phone that we read scriptures together as a family and we say prayer together as a family. And Bailey knows, like, sometimes, like, we'll be so tired and Chris will be like, let's just say a prayer. And Bailey will go, nope, we have to read our scriptures. I'm like, you don't even want to read a verse, because we'll have her like repeat a verse with us. Like she'll read, yeah. I'll say the words and then she'll repeat them just to get her in the habit of learning words and stuff. But she's always there to remind us, like, nope, we have to read our scriptures too. I'm like, okay, if it's just one verse, it's fine. But yeah. And one day she got hurt. And I was making food in the kitchen, and I tended to her, and then she was just like really upset. And so she laid there on the couch, and I looked over and she was sitting up like this. And I was like, Bailey, what are you doing? She's like, shh, I'm praying. I was like, oh. And she was praying to ask Heavenly Father to help her feel better. And it was just the sweetest thing. And so it's moments like those where you see like your efforts are not being wasted.
Mm-hmm. And you don't always get to see that too. So when you do see it, like the moments you're talking about, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm doing something right. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for like guiding me, right? Like
I'm succeeding as a parent.
Right? Like they are learning something, right? And so
yep.
It's just important to remember in those moments that hold on to those little moments where we do see the rewards of the parenting efforts we have been putting in. I did want to talk about one thing as we possibly close up here. He talks at the very, well, I guess this is the beginning of the talk actually, but he talks about like cultural backgrounds and parenting styles and yes. personal experiences. And he says like, these are valuable for our parenting, but he also says these abilities are insufficient to help our children return to heaven. And so he says we need to access to a more elevated set of values and practices, a culture of both love and expectations, where we interact with our children in a higher, holier way. And then if you skip down just a little bit, he says, Jesus Christ is the center of this gospel culture. Adopting the gospel culture in our families is critical to creating a fertile environment where the seed of faith may flourish. And I think that's exactly what we're talking about in our examples, is that this is both different parenting styles and ways, because me and you have different lives, right? And there's millions mm-hmm. of other women and men who have a different way of, you know, their schedules are different. And so the way that we adapt, we can use our different parenting and cultural things in our parenting. But the most important part is that Christ is at the center of it, which you found in both of our examples, right? Jesus time, mm-hmm. right? Scripture time. Like they know, even at young ages, that this is something that we do and Christ is at the center of it. And so I just thought that was really powerful, that no matter what cultural background, parenting style, whatever it may be, as long as Christ is at the center of it, that is what matters. And that's where the environment flourishes. And I just thought that was a super cool promise, because it really is a promise that we can have a flourishing environment for faith in our home.
I really love that.
So it was just really cool.
So I just want to tie that with the last paragraph in that section. He says, as we choose to make the gospel culture the predominant culture in our family, then by the powerful influence of the Holy Ghost, our current parenting styles, traditions, and practices will be sifted, aligned, and refined and enhanced.
Yeah,
that's a beautiful promise right there.
Yeah, and we need those as parents, right? Like if we follow this example and everything in here, all these principles, we'll begin to see that in our lives. And so I just think that's so cool, because we know that there's lots of members that are outside of the United States, right? Me and you are mm-hmm. US members of the church, but there are way more different cultures outside that we're not even aware of, but that we can find commonality in the fact that we're trying to teach our kids about Jesus Christ and about his plan of salvation and the restoration of the gospel and all that that means for us today on earth. So
absolutely. If he's the constant, then everything else will work out.
Yeah. And I love this closing paragraph, or it's the second to last. He says, "Parents, this world is full of philosophies, cultures, and ideas competing for our children's attention. The great and spacious building advertises its membership daily using the most current media channels." And I love how he says current, because that tells me that they rise and they fall, right? Like, I've seen in my lifetime so many different like social media channels, like Vine, for example, come out and then fall, right? And then what was the next one? And then fall. And so we know that they literally fail our children at some point. So point them to the correct source. And anyway, I just had to say that really quick in the middle of that. And then he says, but in the gift of his son, the prophet Moroni taught, hath God prepared a more excellent way. As we partner with God through covenants and become his agents in the care of our children, he will sanctify our intentions, inspire our teachings, and temper our invitations so our children may know to what source they may look for remission of their sins. And then he closes, "In the name of Jesus Christ, amen." And so I just thought that was so powerful. Those last three things: sanctifying our intentions, inspiring our teachings, and temper our invitations so our children know who to look to. Once again, more promises given to us as parents in here. Like, I was just eating this up. Like, yes, give me all the promises so I can follow and be blessed and have this promise, right? Even though it's a hard thing to do, let me do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely love that. Thank you for sharing that.
Okay, everyone. With that being said, thank you for listening to another episode of the Conference Talk Podcast. This episode, we discuss Elder Valeri V. Cordon's address, Divine Parenting Lessons.
If you enjoyed this episode, give us a 5-star rating. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, and everywhere you get podcasts. You can find links to our podcast platforms on our website, conferencetalk.org.
Conferencetalk.org is also where you can follow us on social media, drop us a comment, check out the show notes, find the resources we mentioned in the episodes, and learn more about us, your host.
If you want to follow me, Shelby Christensen, you can find me at ShelbC08. And my husband and I have a podcast called All of Theory,
which you guys should definitely go listen to their podcast. It's really fun. And if you guys want to follow me, Shelby Stanfill, you can follow my husband and I at the Book of Mormon podcast. We discuss a chapter a week.
And that is also a very good podcast. While we always appreciate new followers, it's better to follow the prophet and the apostles themselves.
Yes, although we love speaking about the church and our leaders, we do not speak for them. Everything said on this podcast represents our own personal opinions.
Join us next week for some more personal opinions on the Conference Talk Podcast.